Station. Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to that holiest of all high holy days when it comes to sports. Football Friday in the doghouse. I mean, does it get any better than that? Does it get any better than football music? Does it get any better than that? Fine Southern tradition, the Friday trifecta, now in its 16th year. Does it get any better than our season-long effort to determine the best handicapper in the doghouse? 16 guys now on the grand trifecta big board. Just two, Kevin B. and Cowboy Chris, with two wins. Lots and lots of time to get in. Weekly prizes. But, of course, the grand trifecta, the grand prize, the VIP package at the Music City Bowl, the club seats, the tailgate parking, or the tailgate party, the parking, the battle of the band, the whole enchilada. Does it get any better than that? Yeah, it can get better. You know how it gets better? This is how it gets better. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, it just got better. That's the way we kick off Football Friday on this show. Gotta get that organ going, baby. Get those hands moving. I think my son can play it. Gotta get that head moving. Go ahead, pull over to the side of the road. I know, you want to play the air guitar, don't you? Don't you? Get the X out right now. $1,970 Monday night. I don't get out of your car. Moonwalk. All right, today's Friday trifecta. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I mean, how good is that? It's clearly, without doubt, I've thought about it. I mean, it's clearly the single greatest piece of sporting music ever recorded. I mean, I know. I mean, some of you today are probably thinking, you know, oh no, dog, you know, sporting music. You know, that's okay. Yeah, it's better. I know what you're thinking. I'm just saying, that's the greatest piece of sports music ever recorded. I mean, that's better than like the theme for the Olympics. You know, they got that big theme for the Olympics. You know that. You know what would make the Olympic theme better? Is if it was that. I mean, if it had that kind of funk, it would be better. That's what would make the Olympic theme better, is if it was like that. That's all I'm saying. Let's get to our trifecta so that we can get the calls started. Although, by the way, there's an opening in the leadoff role. Wolverine Dan has been like at the doctor's office with his mother-in-law. He loves his mother-in-law, not like Gina Master. Gina Master, one time he calls the show, he says, I'm looking for a new home for my mother-in-law, a funeral home. It's not nice. No, Wolverine Man loves, you know, his mother-in-law. Anyway, there's an opening at the top because he's busy right now. So if you want to jump in, you can jump in. Here we go. Straight from Vegas. We're going to start with South Carolina getting 2.5.
They may not be a play next week. I don't know.
Steve Spurrier talking about Jadeveon Clowney.
They may not be a play next week. I don't know.
Carolina gets 2.5 at UT.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's a championship of life.
Ball for life.
Auburn is -7.5.
You've been following me all day, man. What do you want with me?
War Eagle.
At LSU.
Football.
Arkansas +31.5.
Who big soy?
I'm just looking forward to hopping on the live.
Is that what you're looking forward to, Brett? Is that what you're looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward to hopping on the live.
Well, okay. At Alabama.
Roll all over the edge.
Roll time.
In our tiebreaker, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man, the Pittsburgh Steelers need a new f***ing offensive coordinator. This guy sucks.
Get 4.5. At Kansas City.
If I toss power trap, that might pop wide open, Rats.
All right, that's all right. Hank Stram there. It might pop wide open there.
If I toss power trap,
that 65 crosswire trap. Might pop wide open, boys. Might pop wide open. Stullers get 4.5 at Kansas City. Now, here's your extra credit. The winners over the weekend. Remember, the winners are those who get 3 if nobody gets the tiebreaker. But if we have multiple people that have 3, then you add the tiebreaker in, and then you got multiple people that get that, then those are your winners, the people that get the tiebreaker. Those people will have an opportunity on Monday to pick the Titans-Colts game and double their pleasure. They get a point just for hitting the Titans-Colts, but you have to be in it to win it. So if you're one of the people that get through the gauntlet that is this weekend, then you get a chance to pick up an extra point on Monday night. We'll take those picks on Monday. I'm not going to take them today because I'll take 40 picks today, and then everybody's picking a game that they're not involved in. All right, you get those in via the phone, like Rick in North Fort Myers, who will be first up at 866-485-9867, or you can get in via the text window at 732-9827469. Please do not leave them at the Facebook fan page because I won't get them. I mean, I can go find, I go look for them, but if you use the Twitter or call, I mean, or if you use the text number or you call it in, you know, they end up on the sheet. You can email it, tom@tomabraham.com, but the best thing to do is to text it in or call it in. Wild night in D.C. last night as the Cubs got over on Washington to earn a seat in the NLCS. The Nationals led 4-1 after 2 and then later trailed 8-4 heading into the bottom of the 6th. It was like a heavyweight fight. The Nationals then made it 8-6 through 6. Then the Cubs made it 9-6 in the 7th. Then the Nationals came back with a run in the 7th and a run in the 8th, making it 9-8 going into the 9th inning. Cubs closer Wade Davis was going for a 7-out close, something he had never done before. And the 7th out would be Bryce Harper, and he got him on a nasty hook in the dirt on a 3-2 count. But this game was nuts, man, from the beginning. All kinds of crazy drama, including a pickoff at first in the 8th inning by the Cubs catcher, no less, that was only a pickoff on super slow-mo instant replay. I mean, look, you can't have that. There was Jose Lobaton, the catcher, who was at first, he's back in easily. Until you see on the super slow-mo that his foot pops off the base for a nanosecond, while Anthony Rizzo has the tag still on him. I mean, it was huge because the Nats had the speedy Michael Turner at second. They're down a run with two outs. I mean, it was a ballsy play by Wilson Contreras to even try to pick him off, because if that's not executed perfectly, that ball's in right field, the game is tied. As for the game itself, look, the length was one thing. I get that there in a 9-8 game like that. The real problem was the start time. 8:15 in the East? I mean, my God, what was it, 12:30 on a weeknight, on a school night when that deal ended last night? And if there were to be one drastic change that I would make to baseball, one drastic change, I would be all in on a pitcher limit, like four pitchers max. You get to have three pitching changes, barring injury, and then every two innings of extra innings, you get another one or something. I mean, it would add to the strategy, wouldn't it? I mean, last night, seven pitchers by each team in a nine-inning game. Seven pitchers by each team. I mean, stop it. So now baseball gets everything that they want in their Final Four except Boston. They got the Yankees. They got the Dodgers. They got the Cubs. But with the backdrop of Hurricane Harvey and the fact that Houston was the best team in baseball this year, that's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. In Charlotte last night, the Eagles beat the Panthers, thus giving Bama Zach this week's Beat the Big Dog. Because it was the only game that we didn't agree on. Every other game, we might both go, he could go 6-0, I could go 5-1. Who knows? Doesn't matter. I lose because he had the Eagles, because he hates Cam Newton. And I had the Panthers, who looked very nice in that monochromatic blue, I must say. But the Eagles look good on the football field, man. They're not 5-1 atop the NFC East. Cam looks messed up, doesn't he? Doesn't he look a little messed up? I mean, he threw a personal record 52 passes in the game, only completed 28 of them. Had one touchdown, three interceptions, and a 48 rating. He looks weird throwing the ball. Doesn't he look like he's a kind of shot putting the ball? That ball he throws into the ground in front of Christian McCaffrey? It just looks weird. Now, he did run 11 times for 71 yards, including a 16-yard TV, but the rest of the team only had 9 yards on 14 carries. That ain't going to get it done for the Cats, man. That will not get it done. You will not. You'll have, you know, the Anderson kid, and Derek Anderson will be playing quarterback for you pretty soon. That's where you're going to go. We're going to kick things off with Steve Merrill from ProSportsInfo.com. He'll give us some insight on the trifecta games. In the three, or the three, as some might say, the SEC insider Josh Ward is back in the house. In the four, we open with Josh Bean from AL.com, who called my soccer take on Tuesday, quote, the dumbest thing on the internet, end quote, that day. I mean, I don't know. The internet's kind of a big thing, isn't it? I mean, there's like a lot of stuff on it. You're telling me there was nothing else on the internet that was dumber than that? There'd be something. I mean, I would think. Then Clint Lamb from SaturdayDownSouth.com is in. And we'll talk Hogs and Tide with him. If you got an idea of what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll free at 866-485-9867. We got your entire digital doghouse for you as well. That's our Twitter feed at Tom Abraham Show. You can throw us a follow there. Facebook fan page, throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 7329-TA-SHOW. 732-982-7469 for those of you alpha challenged. Doghouse inbox is open, tom@tomabraham.com. That cat over there on the other side of the curtain, oh, yeah, he's pushing buttons. He's pulling levers. He's, you know, answering phones. He's playing a stacks of wax in the platters that matter. He's keeping us on the air right there in our palatial ump studios. He's one part, I tell you, and he's one part Mexican. He's one part mutt. His family calls him Antonio McBath. But to us, he's simply Tony Mack.
I mean, that guy sounds like L. McPherson farting into Miles Davis's trumpet.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of the show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
Your generation spends all their time looking at their phones. My generation spent all our time in the front yard playing games.
You don't ever say that to me, bullcrap!
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom! Hey, Tom! Oh, hey, Tom! Hey, Tom!
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
It should be a friggin' investigation.
We love you! We love you forever and ever!
Say hello to my little friend!
Hey, T-Mac, how you doing, my man?
Big dog, I am fantastic today. Guess what I did in between shows today?
No? Took a nap.
No. Well, kind of. Yeah. No, the fiance came out here. We went and got our marriage license. So,
it's nice.
We finally got that done. It's finally official. You know, you have to get it within 30 days of the wedding. So, we had to wait till this month to get it.
So, now you're committed.
Yeah.
Really
now,
committed.
Now, I might show up in a couple Saturdays. I might be there.
That's pretty cool stuff. Does it say Antonio Macbeth on your marriage license or does it say T-Mac and the McFiance? Does it say T-Mac and the McFiance? Do you take this woman to McFiance? You be your lawfully wedded McWife for better or for McWorse, for richer or McPoorer. So help me, Arky freaking McShay.
It actually says.
Are you sure your wedding's going to be official if Arky does it? I mean, if Arky does your wedding, I mean, does it really make that official?
Yeah, it counts. Believe it or not, it does count.
Okay.
As crazy as that is, it counts. It actually says.
Wait. Oop. Wait, you hear what she said?
Did you get serious attention?
Yeah, my. Let me see if I can hear it again. When I said that, my phone said I don't have the answer to that. Is there something else I can help you with? It says, Are you sure you're waiting to be official of Arky? Does it many Barchi? Does your wedding images really make that official? And the phone said, I don't have the answer to that. Is there something else I can help you with? I didn't even ask the phone that. But see, every time I get loud, my phone wants to pop off to me, and I don't like that.
And no, my name on the wedding license says McDog Whisperer. You know what I mean?
McDog Whisperer.
Because it is
well, you know what?
Week.
My crap running back, wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers is better than your crap. I think I pretty much have iced this thing away, isn't it? I'm looking at it right now. It says I'm a 53% chance of winning. I'm up on you right now by a score of 9.9 to 3.6.
Barn burn.
Yes, and the projection now is me to win 101 to 98. So, I'm feeling pretty good. The original projection was for you to win by 2. Now they're saying I will win by 3. So, you know, they've wisened up.
It's okay. I'm feeling pretty good about it anyway. I've always been good as an underdog. You know what I mean? And after seeing what your big guy has to offer. See, my little guy was out there. You know, Devin Funchess was supposed to go out there. He was projected more than he should have gotten anyway. You know, Kelvin Benjamin should have been big time. I know he got maybe 6 yards more than he was projected to get, but he should have done better for you, big dog. And don't you worry about it. My guys are going to take care of business.
All I know is that your guy was projected at 7.66, and you got 3.6.
Yeah.
My guy was projected at 9.3, did 9.9. So what this tells me is that my guys are already overperforming, while your guys are underperforming.
Did you watch the game last night?
Of course I watched.
Then you'll know that Cam Newton at least once threw a pick going over to Devin Funchess. He's incompetent throwing to anybody but Kelvin Benjamin last night, so I blame Cam.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he probably threw the other two picks while trying to throw that ball to my guy. I mean, to Benjamin. I mean, he just looked weird. Charles and Decatur says, hey, Cam got me 28 points in the DFL, and he's reminding me that it is ALCS opening day. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I don't know how many people care besides me and Charles and Decatur, but I get that it's ALCS opening day. I understand where he's coming from. Are you on with us now that your beloved Cleveland Indians got smoked? Are you going to jump on the bandwagon or what?
I hate to say it, but big dog, I am. I'm going for the Yankees.
Good job, I am.
On the NL side, sure, it's eye candy. You got the Cubs and the Dodgers out there. That'll be a lot of fun to watch, but I really don't have a rooting interest either way over there. If there's any team in the major leagues that excites me, it's the Yankees. They have such a likable guy in Aaron Judge, and all they do is hit home runs. I mean, you've got the Sanchino, you've got Didi, and you've got Aaron Judge. It's a lot of fun over there. So, yeah, I've got to go for the Yankees. And I hate to say it, but the thing is,
no disrespect to the Houston Astros, but how much fun is Yankees Dodgers or Yankees Cubs? I mean, pick your pick. Yankees Cubs, Yankees Dodgers is just epic.
That's a good point.
Epic. They'd have to roll out the bone. If it's Yankees Cubs, see, that was the World Series when Babe Ruth called his shot. If it's Yankees Cubs, just once, at one at bat, I want to see the Santino or I want to see Judge point out there to left center field with their bat just once.
Have you seen the updated odds to win the World Series?
I have not.
According to Westgate, Dodgers plus 150, the Astros plus 200, the Yankees plus 400, and the Cubs are a plus 450.
Astros are a good value, a plus 200.
Now he's changing his mind.
No, I'm talking about from a betting value. I mean, the Astros are the best team in the American League. They were the best team in baseball most of the year. I mean, I think the Astros are the best value there. What's the Yankees plus how many, 50? 450, did you say?
400. Cubs are 450. Yeah, Cubs.
Yeah, that
Cubs.
Means a dollar brings you back $4. I mean, that's a good return, but that's a way, you know. So the prohibitive favorite here is the Dodgers right now.
Yeah.
Charles wants some old blue eyes, New York, New York. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to work that in next week. We might do that. We just may rock Sinatra next Thursday. That series is still going on. If that's becoming like an epic ALCS, we might rock old blue eyes just to kind of give some mojo to the Yanks. We might have to do that. All right, give me a little something here now. Give me some Manoj. What do you got over there? You got something for me that tells me something that I didn't know before now?
1971 is where we're going to start it. And I can't believe this one myself, but apparently in 1971, it was the first World Series night game.
Yeah, that is stunning. It is very surprising. It was until 71.
Yeah, Pittsburgh beat Baltimore 4-3.
Remember one.
That's crazy. 1993, the Mighty Ducks won their first NHL game. Yeah, the Mighty Ducks were an actual NHL thing. They won their first game.
That's because Disney owned them. I mean, first was the movie, The Mighty Ducks, and then the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and owned by Disney at that time.
Their old logo with the mask is still one of my favorite logos in sports.
It's the logo from the movie when you were a little kid. Yeah.
1996, Yankees and Orioles combined to tie playoff record of 6 home runs. They hit 3 apiece. 1996.
That's a record?
Yeah, apparently that was a record. I don't think that's a record. How can that be a record?
Reggie Jackson hit 3 in one game by himself. Six is a record in a series game?
I guess so. In 2000, it has to have been beaten since then. 2007, the 17th college football holy war between Boston College and Notre Dame. Boston College beat Notre Dame 27-14 in South Bend. But the interesting thing about this is I've faintly remember this. That was the weird season that LSU, you know, won the national championship as a 2-loss football team. Boston College, after winning that football game, was number 4 in the country. And before they finally got beaten, like week 11, they got all the way up to number 2.
Now, what year was that? 97?
The Yanks Orioles?
No, the Boston College in Notre Dame.
2007, 10 years ago.
Oh, it was 2007. Okay.
Yeah. Boston College was number 4 in the country. Got all the way up to 2, and then they
there was one year where they beat them, because I remember where I was, but I think I was coaching. I think I was actually someplace drowning my sorrows in a sudsy one after a game, but it was some epic game in like 95, 96, or somewhere in there where they kick a field goal to beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame, but I don't know when it was. Sometime in the 90s. Anyway, all right. Is that everything?
I got a couple birthdays for you real quick.
What do you got?
Today in 1977, The Truth was born. Paul Pierce, 40 years old today. And in 1962, that's kind of a hard birthday to beat, but it is definitely beatable, because today in 1962, turning 55 years old today, big dog, Jerry Rice. That's right.
55 years old. That dude could still go out and catch 35 balls, I bet.
Yeah, he could.
All right, let me get Rick in here so I can get him cleaned up. By the way, Fort Myers has one E, all right? There's no M-E-Y. That's Ray Myers, the old coach at, you know, at DePaul, all right? It's M-Y-E-R-S.
Sorry, Myers. Sticky fingers. I rushed to put it in there because I just put Rick at first, and I know how you get mad when I do that. So,
Rick, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
Hey, Tim, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm fantastic.
And, hey, I just got to say this. My kind of town, Chicago, is my kind of town.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. It's not New York, New York. But I tell you what, Chicago, New York would be one first city and second city. That would be one hell of a series, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a little bit of history. The last time the Astros were in the championship series, they were in the National League. And
yeah, right.
When they won the NLCS, they played the White Sox.
It just feels weird. It feels like the Yankees are the only American League team left. You know what I mean? I'm having a hard time even now getting my arms around the Astros. This is their first ALCS, but the Astros are a National League team to me still. You know what I mean? In my head. So it feels like there's three National League teams and one American League team. The only real, if it were like the Astros and the Cubs or the Astros and the Dodgers, that would feel like an NLCS. That wouldn't even feel like a World Series to me.
Well, that's a valid point there.
Yeah, of course it's a valid point, Rick. I mean, come on. All right, let me get you in here before we got a jet. Carolina gets 2.5 at UT.
Carolina.
They may not be able to play next week. I don't know.
Auburn minus 7.5 at LSU.
Auburn.
War Eagle.
Arkansas is plus 31.5 at Bama.
That's what I've got. I'm taking Bama there.
Roll all over they ass.
And in our tiebreaker, the Steelers get 4.5 at Kansas City.
I go with the Chiefs.
If I toss power trap, that might pop wide open, Rats.
All right, brother. We got you in.
Okay, talk to you later, Tom.
All right, man, thanks. Let's grab a break. When we come back, Steve Merrill joins us. ProSportsInfo.com. We'll get his thoughts on a number of things next, right here at 730-1039 The Ump. Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Guys, is it going to be a busy weekend or what? I mean, we got Dega. I mean, don't forget. How can we forget about that? I mean, it's right here in our backyard. We got Dega. And then, of course, the baseball playoffs continue with the AL and NLCS, and then a big weekend of football, both college and NFL. So who better to talk about all of that than Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. Steve, you're burning it 27 hours a day right now, right?
It's a little busy. And by the way, the NBA starts in 4 days on Tuesday, October 17th. I'm not quite sure what's going on. They're starting like 2 weeks early this year.
Well, the NHL started like in August or something. I mean, we were stunned when the hockey started like October 4th. I'm like, what the heck are they doing? And, yeah, I guess they did it to spread out, you know, the back-to-backs and things like that. But with the NBA, to me, it's almost like if I'm going to do anything with the – I can't do anything night to night with the NBA. It's just it's too difficult. You don't know who's playing, who's going to show up. I don't care what these rules are that they put. They give a half-assed effort. To me, it's about futures with the NBA. You know, give me somebody that's got a good risk. There's no value in Golden State. Go ahead and give me the Cavaliers or the Celtics or somebody to win it all, San Antonio, and then just see what happens.
Yeah, what's funny about the NBA, though, that's probably the one sport in which you want to play the favorite in the futures. You know, I always say if you're going to play the futures, if you're going to tie your money up for 6 or 7 months with no interest as they hold it in the sports book, you know, you want to take a long shot. Otherwise, it's not worth it. But the one sport year in and year out in which the cream rises to the top is the NBA. We see less upsets in that sport than any other.
Right.
Baseball, we've seen a lot of long shots win the World Series in recent years. NFL, not as much so, but you can still usually get, you know, a decent payoff on the NFL Super Bowl champ. Hockey as well. But the NBA, very few upsets. And if you look at the future odds right now, there's only really three teams that are less than 15-1, and that's the Celtics, Cavs, and Warriors. And there's only, I think, seven teams that are less than 50-1. Everybody else is 50-1 or higher. So, I mean, it's pretty much just a handful of teams that have any chance.
You wouldn't have to tie your money up as long now looking at the World Series odds. The Dodgers, a 2-1 favorite. Astros at 9-4, and the Cubs and the Yankees both at 15-4. I got to believe that the networks would love to see the Yankees in there, but they're going to get either the Cubs or Los Angeles Dodgers. So, I mean, that's big for the TV side of things. But of those, where's the best value there? I kind of like the Astros. I think there's something like plus 400 or something, or 250, I think, plus 250. I really like the Astros. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, right now, I mean, Astros and the Dodgers are both around 2-1 favorites, and then you've got the Cubs about 4-1, the Yankees at about 5-1. I think, obviously, the Cubs are a more dangerous underdog than the Yankees as far as the championship series go. I mean, you're talking about the team that was the best team in baseball last year and is the defending World Series champs. I do think they're at a disadvantage, though, in this series against the Dodgers due to the fact they had to play that grueling Game 5 last night. They had to use their preferred Game 1 pitcher up in Game 5 last night in Hendricks. And now they don't get him against Kershaw tomorrow. I think the Astros are the best value at 2-1 because they have a much easier road to the World Series. Yankees, very impressive beating the Indians, who were the hottest team in the league the last couple months. But as I mentioned a few weeks ago, you had to wonder if Cleveland was maybe kind of, you know, peaking at the wrong time during the regular season with that 22-game win streak. I think Houston has an excellent rotation with Keuchel tonight. They still have Verlander as well, another ace in that rotation from the late trade. And it's hard to picture Houston winning the World Series. They've never done it before. And like you said, Tom, the networks probably don't want them there as well. But unless the TV conspiracy kicks in, I think Houston actually might be the best bet right now.
It's hard to imagine Houston and L.A. or Houston and Chicago in the World Series because, to me, I'm old school. You know, it feels like they're a National League team. I feel like just one American League team in this deal, and that's the Yankees.
I did a show earlier today, and we were talking about how the Astros have been in once, and we couldn't remember who they played, and the producer had to pull it up while we were on the air. It was the Chicago White Sox.
White Sox,
swept
yeah.
them like 12 years ago.
Yeah, in 05, the White Sox beat them. And the Yankees, you mentioned how impressive that was. I mean, they did that with Judge and Sanchez tied behind their back. I mean, those guys didn't do anything. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. We saw Corey Kluber, who's going to be the AL Cy Young, get shelled. We saw, and then last night we saw Max Scherzer, who's going to be the NL MVP, Cy Young, get shelled. So in baseball, that's the beauty of baseball. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I brought this up yesterday. I was talking to a Nationals fan before the game yesterday here on the East Coast, and I said going in that they're the Washington Capitals of baseball, and they proved that once again last night with just finding ways to lose that game. I mean, getting picked off at first when you got the tying run on second. I mean, how does that happen? But bigger than that is, I mentioned that my same friend yesterday was talking about Scherzer. They go, is he available? I go, well, he pitched Monday. It's Thursday, so he only has 2 days of rest. And I said, I think it'll be a tremendous mistake if they bring him in from the bullpen. We saw that the Red Sox-Astros game last week. We saw Verlander give up a home run when they brought him in from the pen. These starting pitchers, as good as they are, they're not used to coming in from the bullpen, especially on short rest. And I thought that was the biggest mistake made last night, was putting Scherzer in that spot. And he went from being one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball this year to terrible last night in that situation.
Steve Merrill with us, ProSportsInfo.com, and NASCAR aficionado as well, handles a lot of action for NASCAR and give you your head-to-head matchups and so on. And, of course, Steve, we you know, it's very, very difficult for even those of us in the South to pay attention much to NASCAR during this time of the year with the football. But, you know, it's Talladega. You know, and if there's anything that will take an eye away, you know, from a Southerner for a minute, will be to look at Talladega, because that's our place. And, you know, of course, Dale Earnhardt, the sentimental favorite, he's looking really good in practice. I got it on in the studio here, and he looks real good in practice. The thing is, that's like a kind of a wreck or win type of track. You can get caught up in a big one. I just wonder if he has the nerve anymore. Does he really want to fly on the edge of his seat, which is what you have to do to win there, even though he's had such great success there in the past?
You're exactly right, Tom. We've talked about this before. I think Mark Martin was the one that brought this to my attention years ago. These guys later in their career, they start playing it safe. And if there's ever a track where you want to play it safe, it's Talladega or Daytona. And Earnhardt Jr. was as good as anyone over the past two decades. His three starts this year on those two tracks, 22nd, 32nd, and 37th, his finishes, that is.
Yeah.
So obviously he does not have what he used to have. Now, does he bring a different, you know, aspect of this race because it's his last plate track race ever. Maybe, maybe not, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty there. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., of course, has won back-to-back plate tracks at Daytona and Talladega. He also finished top five in two of them last year, so he is legitimate on these tracks. There's certain guys that just get how to race on these tracks, and he's one of them. He's currently at 250-1 to win the championship. If he wins again here, boy, you could play him now and then hedge that in the next round, which would be very tempting.
Yeah, he needs to win probably to get it to the next round.
That's
for Stenhouse,
yeah,
you know.
He pretty much needs a third straight plate win, which is pretty tough to do.
And the Fords are tough there. Brad Keselowski has been the fastest car there. I mean, that is a place where the Fords are good. So I think that part of that will be interesting as well. But it's true, you know, with Earnhardt, same thing happened with Jeff Gordon, you know, when he got married and had kids. And you can I'm 57, and I can still remember what the crazy stuff I did when I was a 17, 18. I used to race motocross. I used to do some crazy stuff with cars that I would never do now. And even on my lawnmower, stuff I wouldn't do now that I used to do back in the day. And I think that's what happens. You get older and you say, you worry, you're just so much more careful about everything, things that you never even gave a second thought to when you were a younger man.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make the argument it's Earnhardt's last race here. Maybe he does better than his first three on the tracks this year. But
maybe.
Then again, he's one restrictor plate non-incident race away from the rest of his life healthy. And keep in mind, this is a guy who had concussions and missed races last year. That's
right.
Why I brought up Tony Stewart. After he got injured, he was never the same last year, and he was just kind of playing it safe, and his only win was on a road course. So I think you really have to be careful with Earnhardt Jr. And even in practice, it's a different story when you're in, you know, that race for several hours in that draft.
I was telling everybody to be very careful with Texas A&M and Alabama, and at 26.5 points there, I really liked Texas A&M and was on the right side of that one. But now it feels like 31.5 with Arkansas, with or without Austin Allen, the standard looking, you know, offense. Alabama coming off of, you know, the Saban's had a red ass all week long. He said that, you know, we can't beat everybody 66-3, but I think they might beat Arkansas 66-3. I am totally not afraid of that 31.5. What's your thought?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, as you know, I've used Alabama a few times this year laying the big number. I was wrong with them against Colorado State back in September, and I mentioned after that, you know, I might have been a little bit early, and they come out and they shellack Vanderbilt 59-0 the next week. Well, I came right back with them against Ole Miss 66-3. I stayed off it last week. I agreed with you. I thought that line was too high. But now that they're coming off a lackluster 8-point win, it's not that they didn't cover, it's that they only won by 8, and Saban's not happy with that. And the fact that Arkansas just lost by 26 to South Carolina as a road favorite, it's not like Arkansas's all of a sudden fixed their problems in 1 week.
Auburn goes to LSU, where they haven't won since 1999. LSU comes off a win against Florida, but Auburn looks like they're flying high and are a 7.5-point favorite down there. But, you know, this one here has got me pumping brakes just because. I know that LSU isn't your daddy's LSU right now, but it's still 18 years since Auburn won there. I'm a little bit concerned. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, this line's definitely inflated. I mean, I think LSU is favored in this game when the season starts, without a doubt, and now they're a touchdown home dog. So there's no question the line has been over-adjusted based on recent results. You know, nobody wanted anything to do with Auburn when they started the season 0-3 against the spread. They lost to Clemson. They came in flat against Mercer that following week, but they've now gone a perfect 3-0 straight up. Push last week against Ole Miss, depending on your number. Otherwise, you might have got a cover. But bottom line is they put up 44 points or more in three straight games. This offense is clicking. And LSU is actually not a great defensive team this year. They're actually getting it done more with offense. Pretty good passing attack. The over could be worth a look here, Tom. You know, instead of playing the inflated number, take a look at over 43.5. That looks like a pretty low total, considering Auburn's gone over that number on their own the past 3 weeks.
And they could there. I mean, an Auburn team that has given – or an LSU team that has given up some points. I mean, look what they did with Troy, for God's sake. And Troy couldn't get out of their own way against South Alabama, who couldn't get out of their own way against anybody, you know, so far this year. It's crazy. All right. Give us something that you're seeing out there that you might want to take a look at. Give us a little nugget that you like, whether it's a Saturday or Sunday deal.
Yeah, you know, a game that I'm taking a look at, I wrote this up earlier on covers.com this week in my Line Watch article, is UNLV plus 7.5. I think this is an interesting spot. They're playing Air Force. Air Force is 0-4 this year against FBS opponents, yet laying 7.5. You know, one of the reasons I think is because, remember, UNLV lost to Howard in week one. It was the biggest upset ever in college football. But the Rebels have quietly been a pretty good team since then. They lost to Ohio State and San Diego State, but they beat up in their other two games. They put up 85 combined points in their other two wins against Idaho and San Jose State. And I think Air Force is really down a notch this year, more than people realize. So, yeah, take a look at UNLV plus 7.5 on Saturday afternoon.
All right, good stuff. Tell them how they get a hold of you and how they can get a pick, freebie from you.
Yeah, if you like that type of analysis, you don't want to miss out on another free play, email me, mention the show. The website, of course, is prosportsinfo.com, or you can email me for a free best bet, steve@prosportsinfo.com for a free play, steve@prosportsinfo.com.
I've been tracking it, too, man. You're having a hell of a first half of the season.
Yeah, I think 6-0 the last two Sunday afternoons in the NFL, so we're really, really grooving right now in football.
Wow, good stuff. All right, appreciate you as always, Steve Merrill, prosportsinfo.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll get a break. We'll come back with an update with T-Mac next right here on 730-1039. Yep. You don't have to be a fan to know that that is the greatest fight song of all. I mean, it really is. That is the greatest college football fight song of all. It's an amazing song. All right, let's get an update with T-Mac. It's a Doghouse Sports Report.
After a 3-year investigation, the NCAA could not conclude that North Carolina violated academic rules. They will avoid punishment. This investigation involved the question of whether or not UNC had created courses solely to benefit student athletes. College basketball has been very busy today because NC State freshman point guard Braxton Beverly has been ruled ineligible this season for going to class. What exactly does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. Beverly signed a letter of intent with Ohio State in November of last year. After head coach Thad Botta was fired, Beverly asked for and received release from Ohio State. A month later, he signed with the Wolfpack, NC State. But the firing of Mata, which sparked the transfer for Beverly, happened nearly a month after summer sessions began. So in the eyes of the NCAA, he was not a recruit looking to get out of a letter of intent, but a freshman looking for a transfer. So
you know,
he will be
ineligible. That's just so wrong. This is why they're going to screw themselves. This is why that they don't make exceptions for instances like that.
United States men's national team's coach Bruce Arena has resigned after failing to qualify the U.S. for the 2018 World Cup. This will be the first time they failed to reach the Cup since 1986. This is the second time Arena has coached the USMNT, this time only being an 11-month stay. I'm Tony Mack. That is your Doghouse Sports Report.
Well, what it does is it opens up the job for our American coach that we sent to the premiership to learn the game a little bit more. Remember, he didn't know the game much when he went over there, but I think this guy definitely needs to be the next coach of the U.S. men's team. Now, he didn't understand things like relegation.
Well, today should be an absolute cracker of a game, Ted. We've got two teams here who are desperate for 3 points to avoid relegation. What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to the definition of relegation.
Whoever's got the most points at the end of the season, they're the champions. The bottom three teams, as you know, are relegated.
Wait a minute. Say champions again.
Champions.
I mean, that guy sounds like L. McPherson farting into Miles Davis's trumpet.
You don't know what relegated means,
do you? I don't. I'm still confused of if it's relegated or relegated. I'd have to see it written because I'm a visual learner. I mean, do you get it?
I get it.
You do get it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I literally have a better understanding of who killed Kennedy than I do what is offside. Yeah. It was the mob.
Yeah, offsides is tough. It is tough. And it took them a little while to adjust to the lack of playoffs.
Yeah, do we have any goals this season? Absolutely. We're going to win a lot of games. We're going to get in the playoffs.
No playoffs.
Again, my job just got a lot easier. Ties and no playoffs.
Yeah.
Why do we even do this?
Why do we even do this? And tackling was really something that confused me.
One of the issues I've had is what tackling was.
There you go, tackle. What the hell? That's not a tackle. It's just sliding around.
Soccer tackle, sir.
Get out right there, Gary. That's how you tackle.
That's how you tackle. Now, we need that guy now. Now that the job has opened up, that's our guy to take Bruce Arena's spot right there. Am I lying? If I'm lying, I'm dying.
That would be incredible. I love that skit. That skit is so good.
That was a skit?
I mean, that coach is so awesome. I love that coach. He's my favorite.
All right, when we return, Josh Wirt will join us. Our SEC insider will take a look at the entire SEC card with him and get his thoughts across the board. It's the Tom Abraham Show on a football Friday in the doghouse. Even a little bit of football got in there. Right here on 730-1039. Don't.